I'm Aaron Schachter in for Marco Werman, and you're tuned to The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH in Boston. Same-sex marriage is now legal throughout the U.S., but forget about gay marriage in the Arab world. In places like Saudi Arabia, homosexuality is considered a capital offense, so gay Saudis are forced to lead deeply closeted lives. We're going to hear now the story of one Saudi lesbian who left her home 10 years ago to study in the U.S. and never went back. She spoke with Lauren Ober of Station WAMU about what it was like to grow up gay in the kingdom.
AJ is sitting in a restaurant in Northern Virginia, drinking a beer and showing off her ink. One of the tattoos is a yellow equal sign in a blue square, the symbol of LGBT equality. Nothing all that remarkable about this scene, except that for a woman who grew up in Saudi Arabia, all of this is haram, or forbidden in Islam. We're using AJ's initials because not everyone in her family knows she's gay. If 34-year-old AJ could go back in time and tell her 17-year-old self that she'd stop wearing hijab, own a car, and have a girlfriend one day, her younger self would never believe it.
My mom was very strict. I really couldn't go out with friends, couldn't, you know, leave the house or visit friends or do anything.
But despite living under her mother's thumb as a teenager, AJ began to realize she was different.
I always had a crush on women.
Which isn't totally unusual in Saudi Arabia.
Another fun fact about Saudi, it's very normal for females to have a crush on another female. But then when it became more sexual, and that's where you drew the line. And then, you know, as we even do today, I took to Google, looked up my symptoms. Google tells me I'm gay. I'm like, oh, no, I'm not.
Her reluctance to accept it wasn't because she grew up Muslim. She says she was never a believer, despite coming from a religiously conservative home. She didn't want to be gay because it's nearly impossible to lead an open, honest life in Saudi as a queer person.
If you are 18 or 19 years old and you're in Saudi and you're like, well, looks like I'm a lesbian, what do you do then? Because it's not like you can go to the gay clubs and meet people.
Online. You had these different chat rooms, and there were a few of them that were catered for lesbians, and just went online and talked to people. But everything's like, you don't know anyone's name. You just talk to them. You don't have their number. You don't talk to them on the phone. It's just strictly chatting online.
So romantic relationships are challenging and potentially dangerous.
My first girlfriend that I met online, it probably took me over a year and a half to 2 years just to learn her first name. I don't know if you're from the religious police. I don't know if you're just a guy who has fantasies about lesbians. I don't know if you're my sister or brother or mother online. I don't know.
AJ had spent some time in the U.S. when she was younger, so she knew there were places where she could live without that kind of fear. She decided to pursue graduate studies in Virginia. She basically got every degree she could, two masters and a PhD, before her student visa expired. Then she was faced with a decision, to seek asylum in the U.S. or go home. She had a lot to think about.
So there were a lot of those considerations, from financial, even emotionally, to come to terms with accepting being an asylee, someone who's sort of stateless. It was a struggle. You know, you feel you're betraying your family and you're missing out.
AJ missed watching her sister get married, and she says she only sees her mother about once a year, when she visits from Saudi. Still, the sacrifice was worth it when you consider the alternative, a life deep in the closet where the threat of exposure is ever present.
No one identifies as gay publicly. I sort of, like, even too scared to think of what would have happened had I gone back home. I have no idea how this would have played out.
But AJ doesn't have to worry about that anymore, at least not for herself. She recently won her asylum case, and she's waiting on her green card. Once she has that, AJ says life will be a whole lot lighter. For The World, I'm Lauren Ober.